Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
What even does it matter? Someone tried to kill the former president and could have upended this entire country. Imagine if things had played out differently Saturday. What does Saturday night look like in the United States of America? What did Sunday morning look like in the United States of America? So fortunately, we don't have answers to those questions.
This is WTMJ at the Republican National Convention. Now broadcasting live from Media Row at the Panther Arena inside the RNC. This is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
So much ahead this hour of Wisconsin's Morning News as we begin our live coverage of the Republican National Convention in downtown Milwaukee. The day is finally here, an event that we have talked about specifically to the RNC the last couple of years. Talk about having a national convention in Milwaukee for at least the last 6 years.
What seems like forever. Right,
more than a half a decade of getting ready for the big event. In 20, it never really materialized. In 24, it is here, and it is massive. You heard some of the reports, kind of the tactical story of the day is folks who are still trying to decide whether they want to come downtown at all. I've largely been telling people, you know, no, downtown will be all right. At least this morning, as we start to figure out these security checkpoints that involve vehicle checks, it is going to be a little bit of a snarl. So I know our company just put out the message this morning. If you're someone who can work from home, you're good. Check with your manager. But the stories that they're hearing is people first make their way into Milwaukee now following the weekend is pretty tough drive.
Because the issue is, even if you're not intending on doing anything with the RNC, which is most of us, right?
Correct, right.
Even then, you're still going to be impacted by this just by the number of cars that are lining up to get into the checkpoints.
So many things ahead in this hour, as I indicated. We're going to do an interview in a little bit with a pastor from Detroit, Lorenzo Sewell, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell of 180 Church in Detroit. It was the church that hosted an event for former President Trump. He is African-American, and so that much in general was controversial. Why is a black church in an urban area hosting this president? And I'm really fascinated to hear what he has to say. And now that he's on the ground in Milwaukee, he is due to speak at the convention Thursday, did he tell
us?
Yes. So we'll have that coming up at about 8:20. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi joins us just before the top of the hour to talk about everything he's got going.
We do expect to hear from former President Donald Trump tonight. There is talk that he will appear at the convention tonight at Fiserv Forum. He says he's not supposed to be here. He's supposed to be dead. Those are the words of the former president to the New York Post on Sunday evening when he was flying into Milwaukee. He spoke with a reporter. He called the situation from Saturday a very surreal experience that nearly ended his life, he said. The doctor at the hospital said he never saw anything like this, Trump said. The doctor called it a miracle. Trump was wearing a loose, large white bandage, according to the Post, that covered his right ear. His staff insisted that no photos be taken. So we've yet to see how bad the injury is to the ear. You would imagine that there'll be some tight shots on that. There'll be some tight camera shots on that, I'm sure, the first time he makes an appearance.
And does he speak? Does he just come out and wave say, I love you and keep fighting?
So he also told the Post he tore up his speech for Thursday and is going to give a new speech because of what happened. But NBC News reporting that most of the speakers, if not all of them, except for maybe a small few, have been told, hey, keep saying what you were planning on saying. We don't want everyone focused on this one thing. Got to be able to keep the message and the platform above everything as well, according to NBC News.
Also happening today, there's new information out from the United States Secret Service, as well as from investigators who are looking into the assassination attempt on the former president on Saturday. Let me get you the Secret Service first, and then we've got a few new investigative details about the suspect, the gunman, Thomas Matthew Crooks. First, from the Secret Service, this is the first time I think we're hearing publicly from the director of the U.S. Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle. She is out with a statement this morning. I don't know, Eric, every conversation that you've had so far about the assassination attempt, has it not started with folks saying, how does this happen?
Yeah, right? How is that even possible? 150 meters away.
So on that, here's Kimberly Cheadle, Director of the United States Secret Service. We're working with all involved federal, state, and local agencies to understand what happened, how it happened, and how we can prevent an incident like this from ever taking place again. We understand the importance of the independent review announced by President Biden yesterday and will participate fully. Director Cheadle also had some things to say about the security detail here in Milwaukee, said it's designed to be flexible and that they have flexed it. That there are some changes, nothing that I've noticed, to the protocol that we were led to believe would play out. That all has happened as we expected this morning. But she did also indicate that there have been changes to former President Trump's security detail since that incident on Saturday.
As for the motive behind it, as of now, no one knows. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The FBI is confident that Crooks acted alone, but they still don't know why he acted at all. He was on no FBI radar, had no criminal record, and what they've seen so far of his digital history has offered no useful clues as to why he carried out this historic act of political violence.
Fellow students tell ABC News that he was smart and that Crooks was a loner who was rejected by the rifle team in part for being a bad shot. Now they're looking through his phone. They're trying to figure out if there was any extremist organizations or anything like that. So far, nothing like that to suggest that he was caught up in something like that. Still trying to figure out exactly how this all happened. You and I were talking about this, too, that there was an officer who spotted him and chased after him at one point. You could call it a chase, I guess. I mean, they knew he was on the roof. So Butler County Sheriff says local authorities spotted the shooter on the building and that an officer got to the roof where the shooter was perched, but the suspect quickly turned and aimed his gun at that local officer, forcing him to retreat and then fall down. Now, what we don't know is if, I mean, when you hear that, you think, did he put his hands up and run away, or was it something else? You know, did he react and stumble?
Right.
But whatever happened, after he pointed his gun at that officer, he then turned and then fired at the former president.
So here's another question immediately on that. If you know you're chasing somebody who's on the roof, how is that not communicated to the detail on the grounds? And get the former president out of there. We don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Should moves or preventive measures have been taken before that? All of these questions
and the
early
snipers,
on in the investigation.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there that they're looking into.
And in terms of the motive, it is important. Everybody wants to know, who is this guy? What was he trying to do? And sadly, everybody wants to know, which team was he on? Is my team to blame or is the other team to blame? And if it turns out he was some sort of radical leftist, can the right then say, see, this is what happens? And if he, as has been reported, is a registered Republican, although I believe in the state of Ohio you have to register to vote. Like, we don't have that here in Wisconsin. Anybody can vote. We have open primaries. I had read that he voted once. So
right,
in terms of being a dedicated, like, right, political diehard, he wasn't. But if, you know, folks on the left are waiting to hang their hat on that, well, see, I mean, like, what even does it matter? Someone tried to kill the former president and could have upended this entire country. Imagine if things had played out differently Saturday. What does Saturday night look like in the United States of America? What did Sunday morning look like in the United States of America? So fortunately, we don't have answers to those questions this morning. But all of that plays out in the political landscape. In terms of what else is happening here in Milwaukee, earlier this morning, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, he's planning to do a daily briefing. 6:30 a.m. every day, I'm going to get out there and talk about Milwaukee stuff. And I thought it was good that the mayor said, obviously, we know we have differing politics, and that's fine. I'm not going to be out here trying to counterpoint every one of the political statements that are made here on stage in Milwaukee this week. I'm here to talk about the city. I'm here to talk about the region and the state, what a big deal this is, and to talk about those Milwaukee related things.
The goal is to make other conventions come to Milwaukee to see and gain a reputation of how good Milwaukee can be, how Brew City can handle something of this magnitude, so others will come.
I thought it was interesting, too, talking with a couple of delegates. We talked with Paul Farrow, who is the county executive in Waukesha.
Yeah.
I talked to him Saturday night just in preparation for our coverage as a delegate to the convention, and in light of the assassination attempt, talked with former Governor Scott Walker. Both seemed to think, boy, the spotlight was already on Milwaukee, perhaps even more so now, given what has happened. But both suggested that Milwaukee is entirely ready to handle this event.
And by the way, there are cops everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's a pair of officers walking around.
I've covered big events before. I've covered a couple of Super Bowls, Final Fours, all things like that. All-Star game here in Milwaukee. I've never seen this many members of law enforcement. And some, it appears, like, don't judge. Some, it appears, don't have much to do at the moment, but you want a cop
fine.
At every door.
Yeah, that's fine. You can be bored.
If you all aren't busy in the moment, that's
yes.
probably a good sign. So Eric and I are here kicking off WTMJ's live coverage from the Republican National Convention. We will be inside the Broadcast Center through the week. We also have a couple of perches inside Fiserv Forum where the entire business actually plays out. You have the platform, the agenda, all of those things, and then those main speakers who will take to the stage later on today. I believe we gavel in, what, late morning today?
Yeah,
officially?
Midday, around midday.
You like a good gavel bang? Don't you want to be there for that? I got to find out where that's happening.
Yeah.
I want to see somebody with the big hammer bang that on the table
yeah,
and open this thing up.
Happen.
Wisconsin's Morning News, live from UWM Panther Arena, the Broadcast Center for the Republican National Convention. On Wisconsin's Morning News. We are live at the Broadcast Center inside UWM Panther Arena in the Republican National Convention, which officially gavels in later today. Eric Bilsted, Vince Vetrano with you until the top of the hour. Joining us now is Pastor Lorenzo Sewell of 180 Church in Detroit. He is one of the featured speakers coming up on Thursday. Pastor Sewell, so nice to see you. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us here.
Yeah, I'm Holy Ghost happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me here.
I was just bragging on you. You're Detroit born and raised. I'm Milwaukee born and raised. You can imagine for someone like me how proud I am to have this major event in our city today.
Absolutely, and I'll forgive you for the Green Bay Packers.
I was wondering about that.
We'll start out right there.
Listen, I think you got one up on us lately. Yours this season.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so on that point, how are we doing? When did you get into town? What do you see? What do you like about Milwaukee and how we're presenting this major event?
Well, the energy is amazing, right? Nothing but love. Stand at the St. Kate and amazing staff here and being able to engage with gentlemen like you. It's been amazing.
Well, I hope your day gets better than this.
Thank you, everybody.
What is your role here at the convention? You're one of the speakers coming up on Thursday. Thursday, of course, a very big day. So what is your message? What are you here to say?
You know, I represent the least of these, right? The disenfranchised, the marginalized, the pushed aside. Quite frankly, when President Trump was shot on Saturday, that happens every single day in my community. I got 8-year-old kids carrying guns just to get to school. So I represent those that are the voiceless, those that would say they could never be in a position like this. So I'm not speaking for myself, right? I'm speaking for the young man that is picking up a gun and not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking for the young lady who's deciding to abort a baby today. That's what I'm speaking for. So today I have an opportunity to have a platform, not just here on your station, but on Thursday in front of the whole nation.
Now, how did this come about? You actually hosted the former president, is that right?
Can you believe that? That Donald Trump, people in the community are saying this, right? They're saying you brought a Crip to a Blood neighborhood, right? they're like that.
I'll let you tell it, but yeah, some stuff was said.
So he actually came, and when he came out, he said he wanted to listen, right? We have been ran by the Democratic Party, and whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, I'm a pre-party person, right? I'm a pastor, so I don't worship an elephant nor a donkey. I worship the lamb that was slain. But in terms of him being willing to come to our community, no Republican would be willing to come to the city of Detroit, and for him to come in the hood, right? So he got the hood. He got the hood. For him to be willing to come and to listen, it was amazing.
Talking with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, he's a speaker on Thursday. He's pastor at 180 Church in Detroit that hosted the former president. What was that, earlier this year even?
Well, it was a month ago.
Right, yeah. So let's get into it. You're African-American.
Sure.
The president is trying to make inroads. The Republicans opened a convention or a campaign office here in the city of Milwaukee.
Sure.
And much like you talked about, that hadn't happened much before. Does the president have an opportunity to make inroads with African-American voters?
Yeah, unlike other Republicans, I believe personally President Trump has a couple things going for him. One is some would believe that he was unfairly treated by the criminal justice system. Whether you believe it or you don't, being a black American, then the mass incarceration of black men, right, up under Democratic policies, quite frankly, that's something that resonates with black America, number one. And number two, the guy was shot. I mean, can you imagine being in a black American context where every single day you deal with that type of violence? So that resonates. And then being able to listen, right? There are very few Republicans that are willing to come into a Democratic context with the desire to listen.
Now, do you think he was listening, or is he?
Because
you've met a lot of politicians who do the opposite.
100%. Right. And my congregation held me accountable to that, right? And one of the things we asked him in terms of the roundtable was, how do you keep the black dollar in the black community? He's an entrepreneur, right? Not a traditional politician. So that really resonated. And he, quite frankly, had an answer that was more political, but I believe it was right. Talking about violence, right? It's hard for you to keep a dollar in your community when you can't walk down the street. I mean, it's tough, and I live that every single day. So, you know, I've seen people get shot in front of my house, right? Car was just stolen the other day. And when my car was stolen, with the DEA, they said, look, Pastor, we love you, but we're not going in that community to get your car.
No
right?
kidding.
And I get it.
You speak about violence. What about like the violent rhetoric that we hear so much of nowadays? And obviously, there's probably multiple things that led to what happened on Saturday. But there's no doubt that the rhetoric seems to get worse and worse all the time. Are we ever going to come down from that so we don't have to be stuck in this nonstop, just violent vitriol?
Well, Eric, that sells, right?
Yeah.
That's what sells.
It
Division
does.
Sells,
right.
Violence sells. And I had to think about Reagan on Saturday, right? And in worst case scenario, quite frankly, when you stand up for the black community, look what happened to MLK. Look what happened to JFK. Look what happened to Malcolm X. So for me, I look at it from a panoramic view. I don't just look at it from a political view in terms of Reagan. I look at what happened anytime you stand up for the black community. You can get shot. You can actually lose your life.
On the flip side of that, Pastor Sewell, you have to have been taking some from other African-American voters who feel like you've flipped sides, you've flipped teams. And it's always exhausted me that sort of the general public treats the black vote as a monolith.
Sure.
However, if you look at the numbers, you're 90%+ Democrat every time over and over again. So what have you heard from others in the community who were not real happy that you're not on that team?
Sure. That's a very good question. You know, quite frankly, I have friends who are very close to Al Sharpton, friends who are very close to Roland Martin, friends who say, look, Pastor, why would you do something like that? Well, the definition of poverty is the lack of options. And when you have one option for 6 decades, why not we just have another option? Look, I like Ford. You know, I'm from Detroit. I like Ford. But I also like GM, too. You know, I like a Cadillac, too. I like an F-150. But I should have the option to do what? To also drive a Cadillac. So when it comes down to the political side, specifically the black vote, you should be willing to have options. Whether you don't believe in the Republican platform and you are solely Democrat, it's wise to have options.
So when you speak on Thursday, if you want to say hey to Vince and Eric when you're up there.
Highlight of the convention for
right
you,
before
Pastor.
You introduce right. the former president to right. everybody. That'd be
Pastor
great.
Lorenzo Sewell, 180 Church in Detroit. Hey, come back. Okay?
Thank you so much,
Don't
Vince.
Make this the only time you're in Milwaukee.
Thank
Love
you
to
so
see you
much.
Again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it is 8:33 on Wisconsin's Morning News. .42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. First day of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Eric Bilstead and Vince Vetrano reporting live from UWM Panther Arena, the Broadcast Media Center. And we're kicking off a week of coverage from this location. Want to bring this interesting piece by WTMJ's Libby Collins. It's just about a minute or so, but if you recall, at this point, is there anyone in the world who hasn't seen the moments the assassination attempt against former President Trump, right? Seen the video, seen how it played out. You might be curious about the former president multiple times saying, I got to get my shoes. So there's a little bit more information about what that was about. The president actually spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then WTMJ's Libby Collins talked with an expert about why that happens, what that was about, and then also a coincidental link to an exhibit that's here at the Republican National Convention this week.
First responders say it's not unusual for victims to ask for personal items when they've been injured, just as former President Donald Trump did when he said, "Let me get my shoes," 4 times after he was shot. Ironically, one of the displays RNC attendees will see when they visit the C-SPAN exhibit at the Baird Center is a display of president's shoes presented by Johnston & Murphy, which has been around since 1860. Shoes designed for Presidents Trump, Reagan, and Ford, who all survived assassination attempts, are there, along with Abraham Lincoln's size 14 lace-up boots and JFK's classic leading man wingtips. Both of them lost their lives to assassins. For WTMJ News, I'm Libby Collins.
That display is not open to the general public. It's inside the security perimeter here, the Baird Center is, so you can't just stop by and see it, but interesting and coincidental.
A little bit more on the shoes. So the former president spoke to the New York Post when he was flying into Milwaukee on Sunday afternoon. He said, I should be dead. He said that the doctor told him that it's a miracle he's alive, that he's never treated someone who's been shot by an AR-15 and survived it. Of course, he was hit in the ear. As far as the shoes go, he says, the agents hit me so hard that my shoes fell off. And my shoes are tight, meaning that he ties them tight. And he said that he was hit so hard that that's what caused them to fall off.
Make America wealthy once again is the theme for Monday at the Republican National Convention. What that means, what else is in store for the day ahead here in Milwaukee. We'll talk with WTMJ's host of Political Power Hour, Steve Scafidi, next on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News, broadcasting live inside UWM Panther Arena, the start of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, joined by host of the Political Power Hour, WTMJ's Steve Scafidi. Lots changed since I saw you Saturday night, and we were in breaking news coverage on the assassination attempt against the former president.
Well, you think about that, right? We're all, you know, enjoying our Saturdays. You were at a graduation party. I was just hanging out watching, which I sometimes do, just watching political coverage on TV in advance of the RNC, and then that shooting happens, and everything changed. And really, all the conversation this week focused on Donald Trump, what this means for the race, and certainly what it means for the RNC in Milwaukee.
What do you think it means for the race?
I just had this conversation with somebody away from the show here. I think if Donald Trump makes the right pick for vice president, right to Republicans and conservatives, I think this race could be over. I have not seen anything from Joe Biden that suggests that's not going to be the case. Now, the president was very presidential last night. He got a lot of good reviews on his address to the nation. That's what presidents do. But right now, for whatever reason, some fate, some, you know, just happen chance, the news has been good for the president. His trials are pushed out. All the news is going in the right, trending in the right direction. If he keeps that trend growing and he maintains what I think is a presidential attitude and demeanor, I don't see how Joe Biden can win re-election.
At some point this week, we got to find out who his running mate is. And I don't know, do you have a thought politically on whether or not...
Eric, not who it is.
I'm interested. Okay, we can do who it is. But I'm also interested in the timing, Steve. Do you give the story of the weekend and all of that stuff yet at least another day or even two to simmer before you make that big news punch?
Yeah, I'll give you the maybe answer on the timing. I mean, okay. It should be today.
It should be.
And the president is here. He stayed at the Pfister apparently last night.
Supposed to speak tonight, or at least make an appearance.
And I mean, everybody on the short list is scheduled to speak as well.
In the, you know, sort of the scripted version of this, that would be a perfect night to do it. Probably logically it would be tomorrow night. Now, Bill said,
guess who's speaking tomorrow night?
Nikki Haley speaking. And
not
I've said this.
And
my friend Bill McCutcheon, who's going to join me today along with Joseph Pecky, has said for a long time, that is the dream pick. Now, we saw the shift of delegates last week, 90-some, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see her now invited to the RNC. Is it that far out of the realm of reality that she could be that pick?
Yes.
So totally. Why do you think that?
Because I don't think they can govern together.
Short memories.
I think they're just politically incompatible. And it's not just the things, you know, they said not nice things about each other on the campaign trail. Look, everybody can get over that, big boys and big girls in politics, but...
It's been happening for years.
Right, exactly. But I just think they're not a good fit in governance, Steve.
True, but if his advisors, Susie Wiles, and I forget the other gentleman's name, who run his campaign, said to candidates, former President Donald Trump, this is slam dunk. You do this, you're getting another 4 years. And oh, by the way, for Republicans, that buys us another 4 years because the right VP pick could be the candidate that you will run in 2028.
So the question would become, though, who is flipping a vote or who is deciding to vote now for the former president who wasn't planning to before Saturday? Is that the base? Is it people that are frustrated with the pick, the nominee, and then say, you know what, I can see some coalescing happening? Who are they going to get to vote for Trump now that would put him over the edge?
Short answer would be people who may have stayed home. And they, something about Saturday, the news of the nation and the world changed their mindset. Said, you know what? Whatever you think about what happened, the way that he approached the moments afterwards, which, you know, talking to law enforcement, that's not the way it should have played out. They should have literally picked him up and got him off. There was a scripted nature to this thing, which is absolutely weird. But that moment may have changed a few people's minds just because of the nature of the individual. Defiant, yelling fight, bloodied face. For whatever reason, that sometimes appeals to some Americans, that fighting spirit. It's played out through history, and it may play out again.
8:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Back once again with WTMJ's host of Political Power Hour, Steve Scafidi, next.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Another hot and humid one today. Heat index could hit 100. Could see storms later on into the day and into the evening. Some could be severe tonight. A low of 71. For Tuesday, cooler, less humidity. Still going to be some, but less. A high of 82. Wednesday, even less humidity. A high of 78. Thursday, 75. Friday, 79.
Politico Power Hour continues our live coverage from UWM Panther Arena at the Republican National Convention. Who do you got coming up, Steve?
I got the guys, Bill McCosh and Joseph Pecky. They'll bookend my week at the RNC. And our special guest, first 15 minutes of the show, Congressman Brian Steil, 1st Congressional District in Wisconsin.
Hey, did you hear what Vince did today?
No.
He walked into some green room and started taking coffee and things.
Nice.
Then they locked it up after he left because he stole it.
Keep telling that story on the air. You're going to be down here solo tomorrow. Hope
Vince
you like
Toronto
it.
Vince banned from the RNC. At least the green room.
Coffee was great. I've never been my